Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with our senior pastor, Ben Martinez. Don't forget to check out our website at calvarychapellubbock.church. There you'll find a lot more about our mission to love God, love people, and live radically. Now here's Pastor Ben.
Okay, well, let's stand together. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read it together when you stand. You guys ready? We're going to read it together. Starting in verse 12, it says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." You may be seated. Church, I have in my hand, I don't know if you can see this or not, I have in my hand, it is a instruction manual for a very large 72-inch TV. It's a smart TV. And I don't know if you know this, but if you buy a 72-inch, that's pretty big. But I've got in my hand, and I don't know, they tell you that you've got to follow the instructions on the manual. It's so much so that you have to follow these, but it's also a smart TV, so if you turn it on, it's gonna show. And then you could also download, I mean, and again, I don't know about you, but if this was my TV, if this was my 72-inch TV, I would definitely follow the instructions. Because gone are the days, quite honestly, gone are the days of the rabbit ears. Anybody remember rabbit ears? Yeah. We've got some folks in here, I won't call you old, but they're gone are the days of the rabbit. The young people in here are like, "What's a rabbit ear?" All you need to know is you have rabbit ears and tinfoil. And you'll get the best picture you ever had. But those days are gone. In the same way, I don't know if you know this, but I took my wife's hair dryer and I brought it here today. I don't know if you know this, but this is most commonly used in the bathroom. But I don't know if you know this, it has a label of instruction right here. Did you know this? It tells me here, listen, this is deep. This is deep. Do not remove this tag. Warn children of the risk, warn children of death by electric shock. You go, what's the warning? Here's the warning label. It goes and tells me that I can use this hairdryer in the bathroom, but I should not use it in the bathtub. Okay? If I were to get this, I mean, I don't know about you, but ask my wife. I am probably the most clumsiest person in the whole wide world. Okay? If you tell me not to drop something, I will probably drop it. How many of you have knocked over your glass of Coke or water in the restaurant all the time? Yep, it's like, I'm like, yeah, anyway, here's the point. I can't get near the bathtub with this or else guess what'll happen? Next thing you know, thanks guys, you have no faith in me whatsoever. Here's the point, it has a warning label. And listen, keep away from water. Did you know that?
Yeah, you go, yeah, that's cool.
I mean, in the same way, as silly as it seems, we heed the warning label. But as silly as it seems, check this out. I have a bottle of Dove shampoo, get it? Dove? You find it funny, but VO5 is $1.14. This is $4. You know how much I was like trying to not like, okay, could I illustrate it a little bit better? Do you think? No, I got to do Dove. I got to do the Dove. Got to do the Dove. It's the Dove. You go, Pastor, what's your point? Here it is. Listen, this also has instructions. Did you know that? You go, wow, what are they? Well, if I could read them, then I'd have good hair days. But really, the point is this. The instructions here on Dove shampoo, it's really simple. You realize that you have to wet your hair before you put this on. And then, I don't know if you know this, but there are some serious consequences if you don't lather and then rinse and repeat. See? Some of your hair. You got to follow the instructions of what the shampoo says. Pastor Ben, you brought all of these? I sure did. Here's my point. You and I, today, oh, we're prone to following instructions. We're prone to following warning labels. You see, we do make sure that our hair is wet before we put on the shampoo. We do rinse off our hair before getting out of the shower. Hopefully you do. But you're following the instructions. You may use your blow dryer outside the bathtub, but you would never take it in the bathtub. You see, we do follow instructions. Whether it be instructions of a hairdryer or shampoo, or listen even closely, even following the instructions of our government. Wait, Pastor, what did you say? Well, listen, we all choose to live by government guidelines, and we obey the laws of our city. We do that. This is how we get along with each other. But here's my question. But when it comes to the Word of God, listen, this is His instruction book for us. This is His guidelines and ground rules for you and I to have life. Oh, no. We'll sit there and we'll spend hours watching and making sure our smart TV has the best picture and has everything and the internet connected. And then when it comes to the Word of God, oh, it's the Bible. It's just the Bible. You see, the Bible that you have in your hand is our Creator's way of giving us instructions on how to live, but more importantly, how to find life. How to find life. Listen, we all need life. We all need life. God has given us basic instructions before leaving earth, and to be honest with you, man's greatest need is life. Is life. See, when we look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, John writes, "He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now, some of you in this room might be saying right about now, "Preacher, I don't need anyone telling me what I should or shouldn't do." To that, I respond, "Well, today when you were driving your car and you came to a red light, what did you do?"
"Well, I stopped."
"Why did you stop?"
"Well, the light is red."
"Right? Why'd you stop?" "Well, because you're told to by the motor vehicle department." If you were just to pass every red light, you would be pulled over by the police. You do, and you obey the laws. Now, let me ask you this. What about when you're about to board an airplane?
"Well, Pastor, I don't fly."
"Well, let's just say you did. Do you realize that you can't just run up to the gate? You can't just go in anytime you want to. You can't just sit anywhere you want to. As a matter of fact, you know this. They tell you when you can get on. They tell you what row you're supposed to be in. They tell you what seat you're supposed to be on. And the flight attendant tells you, which blows my mind, buckle your seatbelt." Now, why is that important? At 30,000 feet, I don't think that seatbelt's going to help me one bit whatsoever. But they are adamant that you buckle your seatbelt, aren't they? Guys, here's my point. We're given instructions every day. We follow rules. We obey the laws of the land. And we give great attention to details in everyday instruction. But when it comes to the instructions of God Himself, we just skate through. We just skate through. We've deemed somewhere in our mind, "Oh, well, that's for religious people. Oh, well, that doesn't pertain to me. You know, I just hope I can make it through. I'll be all right." You see, Grandpa was a pastor. "I'll be all right." Can I tell you what that is? If you don't mind me stepping on your toes this morning on Easter, "Well, I'm not coming back." It's pride, guys. We have pride. Because when we think that the Word of God is not important for us to heed the instructions, that's pride. And I'm telling you, there are serious consequences to blowing off God's Word. As a matter of fact, jot this down if you're taking note. It's Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, writes, "The soul that sins shall die." Do you see that? The soul that sins shall die. Well, that's us. That's us. Now, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you've got it wrong. If you haven't noticed, I'm not dead. As a matter of fact, I'm here. I came to church this morning. This is cool. Well, let's take a look about how we died. Turn with me from 1 John to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis, go all the way to the front of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3. May I remind you, as you're turning, that Adam and Eve were created with a spirit that was already alive to God. Something happened that I'm not sure if you're aware about. Look with me. Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6 now says this. Check it out. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" Now, first and foremost, why Eve is talking to a serpent is beyond me. I mean, really, seriously. They have everything that they could have, they just have everything imaginable. And then we find Eve sitting there talking to a snake. Some of you girls have talked to snakes in your time, haven't you? You know that guy was a snake. My problem is that I'm a husband and I wonder where Adam was. I often joke, yeah, she's nodding. He's like, yeah, where is Adam? He's out chasing butterflies. He's like, look. But here's the problem. He talks, and he starts to question God's word. Notice what he says. He says, "Shall you eat every..." I don't know how he said it. "Have you eaten the tree of the garden?" And the woman, do you know what she should have said? Shut up. She didn't. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" God said, don't eat of that tree. And then Eve adds to God's word a prohibition. Well, she said, don't even touch it. Don't even listen. How many of you at this point were going, come on, Eve, run. It's going to get bad. It's going to get worse. But the problem is that we might have done the same thing had you been created there, that you might have done the same thing. As a matter of fact, before you came to know Jesus, you did the same thing. Well, what do you mean? Well, notice what she does next. "The serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" What's he doing? He starts questioning God's word. "You won't die. For God knows in the day of you eat it, you shall, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. You're actually going to be like God. How about them apples? You're going to be like God. What? What? And so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it pleased and pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. Notice what she did. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, that's not a big surprise, is it? For those of you that have been married here, gentlemen, that's not a surprise. You could walk in the door and your wife says, "Here, try this," and you'll take it like without even asking. Hey, look what I found. Try this. Okay. Adam was in love with his wife, and so he was like, "Whatever you say, baby. Whatever you want to do." But can I tell you this? That's in verse 6 is when death entered the world. Right here. And not only did it fracture Adam and Eve, it fractured all of us. You go, what do you mean? What do you, you know, you're talking about death. What exactly are you talking about? To my understanding, Ben, they didn't die. As a matter of fact, they went on to have kids and to live a very long life. So my question to you, Pastor, is how did they die? How did they die? Well, let's unpack it, because I want you to notice, and if you're taking note, first and foremost, they died spiritually. They died spiritually. See, it was at this point that sin and disobedience entered into the world. And at that point, Adam and Eve, who once had a great relationship with the God that created them, who were in communion with God, now they died spiritually. They died spiritually. They once had a spirit that was alive to God. Now their spirit, well, it's dead. And it affected everyone. As a matter of fact, Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as the one man sin entered the world, that's Adam, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Newsflash, I don't know if you know this, but we are all sinners in this room. All of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, you can try to lie to yourself today and go, no, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. You can try to, you know, just manipulate your own thoughts and be like, no, I'm cool. It's all good. I mean, hey, I am who I am, man. I'm just, no. But here's the point. The point is because Adam sinned in Genesis 3, because Eve sinned, it just, all the way through us. All the way through us. When Adam sinned, church, listen to me, and sin entered the entire human race, then sin spread death throughout the world. So they died spiritually. But let me tell you this. They also died morally. At this point, they died morally. You know what that means? It's with reference to principles of right and wrong behavior, morally. When sin entered the world, guys, everything went haywire. They have any morals anymore. How do you know? Just a couple of chapters later, Cain, their son, rises up and kills his brother. That wasn't even a thought before this. And all of a sudden now, where did this anger and this rage and right and wrong? So the question is, well, how did this happen here just at the beginning of the book? How did this happen? Because they had no morals anymore. As a matter of fact, Judges chapter 21, 25b says this, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Can we relate to that or what? Do you remember a time in your life that you said, oh man, whatever is right for me, whatever is right for me. As a matter of fact, if you're here today, that's kind of where the world is headed back. It's headed back to this place where people are going to do what's right in their own eyes and disregard the instructions from the Word of God. Oh, well, here's what God's word says. No, that's not for me. See, I don't know if you know this, but me and God, we have a special relationship. I talk to him, and he's cool with me sinning. He's cool with me. That's all. It's all good. It's all good. No. Guys, well, let me ask you this. If you're so good with that, will you get in the bathtub with the hair? Oh, I wouldn't get in the bathtub with the hairdryer. No. Well, then why are you disregarding God's word? So they died spiritually, they died morally, but they died emotionally. They died emotionally. Adam and Eve, check this out, could no longer relay or express emotion to each other or the God that created them. They just died. You see, Genesis 3, look a little bit further. Verse 8 speaks of this event. Notice, okay? And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What happened? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Did God know where he was? Of course. They used to walk with God. They used to have this great emotion. They could relate with God. They're walking with God. Sin comes in, fractures everything. Guess what? Now they're hiding. Adam, baby, answer him. You go first.
Why me?
Because you ate the apple.
It wasn't an apple.
I know, just go. That's what he's saying. Adam, where are you? Guys, think about this. This is the same voice that calls to you through the power of the Holy Spirit when he begins knocking on your heart. And he says, hey, you're not right with God. You're not right with God. No, Lord, I prayed a prayer when I was 8. I prayed a prayer, Lord. No. You don't have a relationship with him. You haven't been born again. You're fooling yourself. No. I'm good. Where are you? This is what he's saying. Where are you? Notice Adam's response. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And the Lord said, who told you you were naked? You guys see what he's saying? Who told you? Oh, I was hiding. I was like, oh, I'm... Why was he hiding? Because nakedness was bringing up his shame. He was shamed. He's like, oh, I can't relate. See, up until Genesis 3, they could walk. They were walking naked in the garden. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't anything to be ashamed about. It was like, oh. Why? Because they had a pure heart and a pure spirit. But now the Lord says, hey, have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Listen to me. They died spiritually. They died morally. Somebody thought I forgot what I was going to talk about. They're like, let me help him out. Thank you. I got my notes here. It's for dramatic effect. And they died emotionally. Is that not true? That all happened in Genesis. You go, okay, well,
Pastor Ben, what does that have to do with me?
Well, guess what I did? I went out yesterday and I got our local newspaper. Now, this used to be pretty big, but it's not anymore because everything's online. But you know what I found? Not much has changed. Not much has changed in Genesis chapter 3. How so? Well, let me just read you this, okay? This is our headline, Arrest Made in Deadly Crash That Killed Teen. Now, that's the headline, but it says this. A 23-year-old man remains in jail after he was arrested this week in connection with a hit-and-run crash last year that took the life of a Lubbock teen who had recently become a mother and aspired to one day be a veterinarian. The Lubbock Police Department Major Crash Investigation Unit, with the assistance of the Lubbock U.S. Marshal Fugitive Force, arrested 23-year-old by connection that left a 17-year-old who had died. I'm not using the names. You can see this afterwards. According to a statement by the Lubbock Police Department. Here's the point. The point is, this young man at 23 hit someone and didn't stop and render aid. And kept going, and she died. It's the same thing. Something inside us has died where we're going, oh, I'm in big trouble. Let's just run. Let's get out and let's see if I can. I'm just like, wow. Wow, he didn't even stop. I mean, here's this poor girl. I want you to feel the weight of what's happening in our world today. Here's a little girl who's growing up without a mama. What if he would have stopped and rendered aid? What if he would have, I mean, you're just like, wow. That's just one headline. You open the other headlines, guys. Check this out. Suspect in custody after stabbing in Illinois leaves 4 dead and 7 injured. This is our, right? Well, this isn't in Lubbock. No. I'm showing you. This is our, at least 4 people are dead when a man went on a stabbing rampage Wednesday in northern Illinois, authorities said. Why?
Well, Judges tells us that people did what they thought were, you know, right in their own eyes. You go, Ben, but there's just a lot of sick people out there. Can you imagine? Seven other people were injured, including one in critical condition. According to the local authorities, the Associated Press, among them was a girl who ran, and a good Samaritan is what they're calling him, who had stopped to help her. Police took in the suspect, a 23-year-old man in custody, and questioned him. It also tells us, guys, it also tells us today about the bridge. The bridge in Baltimore. Pastor Ben, are you saying that that was an accident or did that happen on purpose? It doesn't matter. People's lives and people died, didn't they? That's in our local newspaper. You go, well, Ben, what's the point? Guys, it shows that our world has died spiritually and has died morally and has died emotionally. That's just the front page. That's not what you and I see every day when we open up, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever internet, we can see that this is actually happening. You go, well, Ben, where's the hope? Where's the hope? Well, that's the point of today. The hope is in the gospel message. But you see, the gospel isn't just a one-time. Here's the thing. Across the United States, across all of my friends, all the Calvaries, all the churches, man, people are getting dressed and they're going to church and see somebody invited him and it's amen and hallelujah. And churches, come on, are packed throughout our city, but it's not enough. Because they go to church, they check the box, and they go on, and they're still dead. They hadn't found life. You see, the gospel is, here's the hope. The hope is that we will change, something will change, and we'll be spiritually alive again. As a matter of fact, in Paul writing to Timothy says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. What's that? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. We've already established that you and I are sinners, and so we need salvation. We need to be saved. Something needs to change. Let me say this. If you come to Calvary Chapel, I will always offer an invitation for you to come to know Jesus. But the very first thing I say is words alone aren't sufficient to save. So you can stand here and you can cry and you can pray a prayer, but unless you're born of the Holy Spirit, unless something actually changes in your life, then you just prayed an emotional prayer. And what we need is life. What we need is life. We need something to happen that come from above, and you go, you see, Jesus, God's only Son, He came into the world to save us from this death. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. There's still going to come a time when you will die. Your body will die, and we'll mourn for you, and we'll cry, and we'll miss you. But if you're born again, man, you're going to never be more alive than you are today. I'm telling you. But people don't want to talk about death. I don't want to talk about death. I'm good. And now you're looking at your friend who invited you and you're like, why didn't you just take me to this church? You weirdo. Listen to what John 3:16 and 17. You might know them, but notice what it says. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I get an amen? But 17, for God, listen to me, For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. Isn't that what a broken world needs? Salvation. A change. Guys, I think of a story by the name of Stan. And I read a story on Stan, and Stan is what we would call a cultural convert. Does anybody know what a cultural convert is? A cultural convert is that somebody who just loves to be around Christians and maybe prayed a prayer, but they weren't really born again. It's just culturally, it's cool to hang out with my buds like this. It's culturally cool. And Stan was exactly that. And when Stan was interviewed about salvation, it came to realize that Stan didn't have a genuine understanding of salvation. And they asked Stan, what did you do, Stan? What happened? Well, you know, I was just always brought up in a good conservative religious home, and so that's what I did. We went to church. I smiled. I said hallelujah. I did my thing. But Stan was never born again. Listen to me. You can be here today and be in an outstanding young man or young woman. You might have great morals because your parents did a great job raising you. But the one thing you don't have is life. It's life from a God who created you. And we all need life. We all need life. Say goodbye to Genesis. I'm going to have you turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you something in Ephesians, guys. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says this. And you he made alive who were, what's that word? Dead in trespasses and sins. That's who we were. That's who we were. Now, listen. If the problem with mankind was only that we were sinners and we needed forgiveness, which is true, that would only be half the gospel. You go, Ben, what do you mean? Well, from God's point of view, the problem is not that just that we're a sinner in need of forgiveness. The greater problem is that we were dead and we need life. We're dead inside. I don't know if you know this, but there's something that you and I can be very good at. And you, what's that? What's this? Behavior modification. We can modify our behavior to look and be a certain way. We modify our behavior based on our surroundings, based on our culture. But behavior modification is not born again. You need life. And so with Ephesians, I'm going to study it real quick. Let's look at it with me, guys. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is writing and he's telling us, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So what's the first thing we notice? That we were dead. Can I get an amen? In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, what were we? Children of wrath, just as others. Paul pulls no punches right here when he talks about being dead. You go, what do you mean? He says, you and I used to walk in the course of the world. Do you know what that means? It means we used to meander from sin to sin. We used to meander. Let's go over here. Let's try this. And he says, this is who you were. This is who you were. You used to walk in sons of disobedience. We conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. That's what I want. Whatever I want. Oh, that's what I want. In the lust of the mind. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Notice, by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 8. Here it is. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let me say this to you. Listen, it was not God's original design that you were dead and you were doomed and you were dominated. This is exactly what Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 says. You were once doomed, you were dead, you were doomed, and you were dominated by the prince of the power of the air. So what was his original design? You ready? An empty cross and an empty tomb brings life. Brings life. That's what you need today. Think about this. When you're born again from above, when you really understand the gospel message, here's what happens. You are now born and you are alive spiritually. Spiritually. You're alive. Your spirit is born from above. You can actually say, I'm alive. My heart is transformed. Oftentimes, you'll see people who will pray a prayer, and then you begin to watch their life, and you go, I guess it didn't take. I guess it just didn't. They said a prayer, but now they're living just the same way, even worse. Because they have to be born from above. It has to be a work of God's Holy Spirit. You can have the best orator from behind the pulpit. You can have the best orator telling you what you need, how to get saved. And if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and he begins to knock on your heart right now and he says, hey, listen, I love you so much, but you're not right with God. You're not right with God. Well, what time is it, Pastor? Are we almost done here? I've got some Easter eggs to go look for. And we start getting really nervous, don't we? And the Holy Spirit begins to move in our heart. And so what happens is that when it happens, when you're truly born again, spiritually you come alive. You come alive. And not only that, but you're alive morally again. You go, what does that mean? Well, he begins to give you your life back and he takes away the past. And here's what happens. You're able to blush at the things that your heart was hardened to. And you're able to do the right thing. And you're able to have a genuine love for him. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. That's spiritually. That's morally. Think about this. Think about this. Morally, guys, blushing at the things that you used to partake in. Wow, Lord, you did a work. You did a work. What about emotionally? We're alive emotionally. How so? Guys, we can relate to God. We're able to relate to him. We're able to express emotion. There are people who used to come to church and they'd be like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I should. I'm just going to stand here. The pastor said, stand, sit, stand, whatever it might be. But then when you get saved and you get really, man, you're just like, oh. And your hands are raised and your heart is just beating out of your chest. And everything is just that. This is exactly what he says emotionally. Why? Because he's giving you that part of your life back. Guys, you're able to cry. And you're able to feel love and hope. You're able to live without guilt. And you're able to sing a new song. See, that's what my Jesus did for us. And those are his instructions for us. As a matter of fact, you might be here this morning and you've been tracking with all I've said. And you might be here going, okay, Pastor, listen, you make a very good case. So I'm not going to lie. But I'm really not so sure about this salvation thing. I'm not so sure about this death and life thing. Pastor, I still have questions. Well, I bet they're the same questions I had when I was dead. You go, like what? Well, these are questions that I had, maybe you had, in what we would call our BC days, before we came to know Christ. You go, what are they? The very first question I had is, I used to say, well, the Bible's full of contradictions. I remember telling somebody that the Bible's full of contradictions. And the question is, really?
What are they? You see, I never read the Bible, but I sure bowed up and said, well, no, Bible's got a lot of contradiction. Really, what are they? I don't know. I'm sure they're in there. No. No. Another question that I had that maybe you're asking today is, my good will outweigh my bad. Ever been there? My good will outweigh my bad. You go, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, think about this. I remember when the gospel was presented to me, I thought, I'm good enough, right? I didn't steal. I didn't murder anybody. I didn't lie. I didn't chew. And I didn't go with girls who did. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, hold on. But I did really feel like my good would outweigh my bad. You see, God has a category here of good. You're good. And y'all are bad. And the good will make it in. And that's, I mean, think about this for a second. That was me. Maybe that's you today. But let me ask you this. If that's you today, are you staking your eternal life on that? And that you're crossing your fingers and your toes and hoping that you're good enough? That is scary. Because how good do you have to be to get to heaven? Can you imagine? I'm doing good, I'm doing good, I'm doing good. And then somebody cuts you off and you're like, and then God comes? You'd be like, oh, I missed it. Not that any of you have bad thoughts, but you know what I'm saying. I'll tell you another one. And I remember this growing up, okay? I remember when there was the big movement in our town. The big movement. People, drug dealers, man. These guys were getting saved. And they were on fire for the Lord. And we didn't understand it. We're looking at him like, are you serious? This is a dude who would sniff paint. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And now he's saved. And then we heard that the church was asking them for their money. And I remember mocking them going, oh, yeah, see, that's all churches want, is their money, is your money. And I remember saying that, right? Well, churches are all about money. You remember saying that? Well, let me ask you a question. Did we ask you for any money today? You're like, no. No? See, churches aren't about money. Churches are about wanting... Here's my heart. Here's my heart, okay? Heaven isn't going to be heaven without you. Heaven isn't going to be heaven without you. The spiritual battles that we go through every single day is for the battle of your soul. Listen, here's the bottom line. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm excited about that. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing better than me going to heaven, and that's taking somebody with me. And that's what I want. That's the whole point of being here on Resurrection Sunday. So that God begin to knock on your heart, and he begins to start stirring in your heart. You go, you know what? Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm right with God. I'm not sure I'm right with God. I mean, This morning, church, you either are or you were. You will, wait, Ben, say that again. You either are or you were. What do you mean? Well, today, I'm either dead to sin and alive to God, or I'm alive to sin and dead to God. Listen to what John 3:36 says. You ready? This is important. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Do you guys see that? Look at that. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. This is really simple. John is writing. Okay? I want you to look at it again. Look at verse 36. He who believes. Okay? That word is interesting. It's not just a general belief. It's not like, well, I believe. I mean, I got oxygen, so I believe. That's not what he's talking about, guys. Here's the word. The Greek word is made up of three words, okay? Three words. I want you to listen to what he's really saying. The first in the Greek is pisteo. Doesn't mean anything to you because you don't know Greek, but here's what it means. To have faith in respect to a person, to entrust. So you're going to believe in a person. You're going to entrust yourself to someone. But it's also made up of the second word, which is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means persuaded, to have reliance. You're relying on Christ for salvation. So first and foremost, you're entrusting, okay, it's got to be somebody. It's Jesus, and now you're persuaded, I am relying on Christ. And the last of the Greek words that make up this word believe is pitheo, and it means to be convinced with confidence. To be convinced with confidence. So here's what it means. When he says, he, speaking of you, who believes, then what you should do is that belief shouldn't be a general belief, but it should be a belief right here that you believe in Jesus, you put your trust in him, you're relying on him for your salvation, and you are convinced with confidence. Nobody can talk you out of it. That's where you should be. That's salvation. And it's not about, oh, I'm good, I'm bad. No. It's like, do you believe? Do you believe? Here's the gospel. You ready? 1 Corinthians 5, 15, 3. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You ready? Listen, with all of your hearts and with all of your ears attentive, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, died for our sins. He died for your sins and he died for mine. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. And make no mistake about it, he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Now, think about this. The cross was a time of a victorious death, a negative triumph. Why? Sin was defeated, but nothing positive was put in its place until the resurrection. The resurrection showed that Jesus did not succumb to the inevitable result of sin. The resurrection was proof of his conquest. You go, what are you saying? You ready? The resurrection, what you and I are celebrating today, can I just say this with as much love? It's not about the bunny. It's not about eggs. It's not about baskets. And it's not about how beautiful you look. You all look so beautiful. But today is all about the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that what I'm saying here today is 100% truth. He who finds God finds life. My question to you is, do you have eternal life? Do you have eternal life? Now, as we close, I want to talk to you for just a moment. Now, I need you to stay. This is the most important part of the sermon, okay? If this was my last message on this planet, this was my last to you today, what would you want me to say to you? What would you want me to say? This is the very last message you ever hear. Would you want me to shoot straight with you? Or should we pander you in hopes that you come back next week? You go, Ben, if this was the very last message, I'd want you to shoot straight with me. Shoot straight. I can take it. I can take it. If I were sitting out in the audience, what would I want someone to say to me? Here it is. You ready? We're talking about a place where you go forever. And this is serious. This is not about asking you to join in our church. This is not hoping you'll come back next week. This is not hoping, well, Pastor, you did such a great message, let me pat you on the back. This is about your eternal destiny. Where are you going to spend eternity?
Now, I have some really, really good news, and I also have some really bad news. The bad news is that you were created, you're here on earth, and you're going to live forever. You have to decide where you're going to live. You get to decide. You see, God opened up his arms, and he opened them wide, and he said, listen, I know who you are, I know you're dead, and I'm willing to make you alive if you'll come to me. The problem is that we don't understand the gospel message. We think that it's a simple prayer. I prayed a prayer at church. I'm saved. Now let's party. Woo! And we go out the door. It has to be a work of God's Spirit moving in your heart right now. And so again, this is what I would tell you. Do you, listen to me, you're here today. Do you with absolute confidence have a relationship with the God that created you? Do you have with absolute confidence? You're like, oh. Many times, church, we'll heed the warning of a silly shampoo, but we won't follow the instructions of the Word of God. As silly as it is, we'll blow dry our hair and we'll follow the silly instructions to make sure we don't have this in a bathtub. But we won't follow the Word of God. Do you, precious people, have a relationship with Jesus? Because he brought you all the way to church today so that you could hear this message. But you have to make a decision. Because the God that created you is not going to force himself on you. He's not going to come in and go, you're going to get saved. He's going to say, hey, I'm opening up. You got to open up yourself. There's no more playing. And what's happening right now, if you'll give me just a moment, is all of a sudden in your mind, you're thinking, no, I have enough time. Man, people have been saying that for a long, long time. People have been saying that. It's not about time that you have to get saved. Listen, the Holy Spirit is now, and he's calling you to make a commitment to him. And say yes to him. Some of you in this room, you might feel, Pastor, man, you were saying some things here. You were talking about life. You were talking about forgiveness. And I got to be honest with you, man. I feel like I'm a million miles away from God. I'm a million miles away from God. Listen, you might feel that way, but you're one decision from coming to him. All you have to do is just say, listen, Lord, I just need to come to God. Every one of us, if there's something innate in us that we need to have a defining moment. Do you know what a defining moment is? It's that place where you said yes to him. And it could be an aisle. It could be sitting right there in your seat. But you have to have this defining moment. So when the enemy comes and goes, when did you get saved? You go, right then. I remember. It was March 31st. Man, I was in this church and the pastor was preaching his heart out. And I said yes to him and everything changed. Everything changed. You have to have that defining moment. That defining moment is what's going to sustain you when the enemy comes in. Listen to me. 2 minutes. The Bible says this. The Bible says that as the seed goes out, the Word of God, he said, there's a group of you in here that by the time you get to the stop sign, everything that was said in here is gone. The birds are going to come and pluck it away. Oh, that was fun. Let's go eat. Where are we going to eat? It says some other will fall on your heart, and some of you will accept it with joy. Yes! And then he says, and then the cares of the world are going to choke it out. Choke it out. He said, but some of the seed is going to fall on good hearts. You're here today and you're going to say yes to him like you've never have before. Because nothing in the past that matters, whatever you did in the past, today you're going, I'm going to make a decision for him. I'm going to make a decision for him. April 8th is coming. I don't know if you know this, but there's going to be an eclipse. Could Jesus come? Could he come today? Are you right with God? Today's your day. See, in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes. Don't do it for somebody you love. Don't do it because your spouse is sitting there. Do it because God's Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart and you're saying yes to Him. Don't do it because we don't have membership anyway, so we're not going to ask you to join our church. You know what we're going to do? We're going to just, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says when one person repents, man, there's a party in heaven. I want to join that party. Okay? When you give your life to the Lord today, when you say yes to Him, people, don't golf clap. Yay, I hope it takes. That's not what the angels do, right? The angels are like, yes. True repentance. You go, Ben, what do I have to repent from? You ready? The very first thing you have to repent of is unbelief. Unbelief, because you know the word believe. It means you have to put your faith, you have to be persuaded with confidence in Jesus. Amen. Once you're due there, then you let Him take reins of your life. Can I get an amen? Father, we thank You today for Your word, God, and the truth in Your word. We thank You for Resurrection Sunday. Lord, I've done my part. I have, with as much as I could, just the rest is up to You, Jesus. I pray Your Holy Spirit would begin to fill the hearts of those that are unsure. Hey, with every eye closed and every head bowed, maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus like I was talking about. Maybe you're here today and you have backslidden from God and God's knocking on your heart to make a commitment to Him today. I want to lead you in a prayer to do that. I want to walk with you. I want to hug on you. I want to just welcome you into the family of God, but you've got to make a decision. You've got to have a defining moment, and you have to do something super brave. You go, what's that? I'm going to ask you to stand at your feet, stand in your feet, if you want Jesus to come in, forgive you of your sin, get rid of the past, get rid of the guilt, and then begin to walk with you in eternity. But nobody's going to make you. You have to do it yourself. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor Ben, I've got a question. What if nobody stands up? Then I can sleep at night knowing that all y'all are saved and I'm going to see you in heaven. But if not, I want to make sure. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back, or do I know when your last breath is going to be on this earth. But I do know that today is the day of salvation. So let's do this. If you're here today and you want Jesus, you want Him to come into your life, you want Him to forgive you, the gospel message, the resurrection, you're ready to walk with Him. You're ready to believe and to join the family of God. I'm going to ask you to do something first. I'm going to ask you to just simply lift your hand so I can pray for you. Would you do that right now? If that's you, just lift up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just lift up your hand. God bless you. God bless you in the back. I see you. If you're not right with God and today's the day, you just want to be right with Him, you just need to lift up your hand. I'll see you. I'll just look for you. Just raise it nice and high. Anyone else? Anyone else? You want to be right. This is you. You need life. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Father, I pray for these hands that were raised. God bless you in front. I see you. I pray for these hands that were raised. I pray that You do an incredible work here today. Lord, it's not about a prayer. It's not about joining a church. It's not about an emotional thing, God. It's about heeding the instructions in Your word that we need life and that we can't do it on our own. And so I pray for these hands that were raised. I pray that they would do something incredibly brave, Lord, and they would make that decision to follow You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you lifted your hand, would you do me a favor? I'm going to ask you to do something incredibly brave. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come and stand right here because I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And when you do, we're just going to be so excited for you. We're just going to clap for you, and it's just going to be a great time. You go, why do I have to get up out of my seat? Here's why. Because right here is your defining moment. You can say, right here is the day that I gave my life and I surrendered and I rededicated my life to the Lord. Would you do that right now? If you lifted your hand, come and stand right here and we'll just, it's just going to be a great day. Would you do that for me? Let's go. Amen. 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 Come stand right here. Come stand right here. Amen. Look how brave they are. Look how brave they are. Come on, get out of your seat. If you're right with, you want to be right with God, you come in. Amen. Amen. We'll wait for you, brother. Anyone else need to be up here? Anyone else need to be up here? You're right now, you have that inner, that turmoil. Why don't you get up and come? Amen. Amen. Anybody else need to be up here? We'll wait on you. God is moving in your heart right now. He's moving in your heart, and he wants you to come and stand right here. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and it's a prayer of life. It's a prayer of salvation. This is where God's going to come, and he's going to save you, and he's going to just do incredible things in your life, I promise. Anyone else, guys, right now, this is your time. Don't let this day get by. You go, I need to be up there. I need to be up there. You get up out of your seat, and you come. Come on, we'll wait on you. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. Just going to give you your time. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's gather close over here, guys. Gather over close, real close right here. Okay. So words alone aren't sufficient to save, are they? It has to be a work. It has to be between you and God. This is something God has to do, not what you do. You're just here. And you're gonna pray this prayer, and you're gonna mean it with all of your heart. So I want you to pray it out loud with all of your heart, but you're praying it to God. Okay? I'm just gonna lead you, so don't even pay attention to me. I'm just gonna lead you to Him. Okay? Would you pray out loud, dear Jesus?
Jesus.
I'm sorry for my sin.
Sorry for my sin.
I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe you resurrected. I put my faith and trust in you. In authority in your word, I know I'm saved. I need help, Lord. I can't do this myself. So I'm asking you, by faith, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my God. Be my Savior. And be my friend.
I choose this day
to follow you, Jesus.
For
forever I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him a big hand, y'all. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, if you prayed to receive Christ, we have a Bible for you and a Bible study guide. Okay, I think Keon is somewhere over here. If you'll just see him at the back table, grab a Bible. If you don't have one, it's a guide that says, Welcome to the Family of God. And please don't run off without talking to somebody. You go, what happened? What did I just do? You gave your life to the Lord. You are what the Bible calls born again. And we don't just want you to be born again and then you run off. We want you to just know what's going on, pray with you, whatever concerns you have, that's what we want to do. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace and hope. Love you guys. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. We'd love to hear from you and see you in person at the church. You can find our contact information, location, and even give a donation at calvarychapellubbock.church. We'll see you next time on the podcast. Until then, may God bless you and your family.